Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hello, everyone. Thank you very much for coming. Welcome to TSFP Live in London. We're back for a second year.
Thank you.
I haven't even said anything yet.
The applause should be for you guys for coming out during a national rail strike and unbelievably bad weather. So thank you very much for coming. We really do appreciate it. You know when people say, oh, you've brought the weather with you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the opposite.
We did not.
We did not bring the
weather.
This
is why we live in Madrid.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll do next one at our house, right?
Yeah. So yes, like I say, thanks for coming. We've got quite a long show for you. It depends on how long Sid talks for. So we know it's probably going to be quite...
Why always me?
Yeah, you're obviously very, very brief. Many of you were here last year when we did the A to Z of Spanish football. This year, it's going to be relatively similar, but with a little tweak. We're doing around Spain... with TSFP.
Yeah.
We're visiting all 20 La Liga EA Sports clubs. Facts you didn't know, the talking points right now, some predictions for the forthcoming season, and some recommendations if you're planning a visit, and of course, some Rincón Cultural. Well, thank you. You're very generous with the applause.
Wasn't That's expecting good. That to
yeah,
get
that bodes well.
A round of applause.
Games... prizes, some like very good, very easily winnable prizes as well. So if you want to be involved in the games, put your hands up and get involved. If you're posting live on the show about the show on social media, use the hashtag LaLigaTSFPLive.
It's up there on the screen.
Fantastic to see so many clubs represented, by the way. We were just sitting here counting all the shirts and there's loads, and obviously Rayo have won, so that's great. So let's get started. Where are we heading to first?
Let's have a look.
Bilbao.
Bilbao. It's alphabetical order, actually, so it's not that surprising.
There's a lot of kilometres being clocked up when we have to go from Athletic down to Almeria.
Yeah, something you're pretty used to.
Yeah.
So we're going to start off. Let's give you a fact about Athletic Club de Bilbao. A fascinating fact that some of you may or may not know. Who was their first ever professional manager, Sid?
I think this might be a trick question.
Go on.
Is it Billy Barnes?
It's Billy Barnes. Do you guys know who Billy Barnes is? Yes. Very loosely related to me, yes. He's my Auntie Myra's granddad.
By the way, Happy birthday, Auntie Myra.
Yes, best possible...
What a present for her today.
Her birthday today, so she gets mentioned in the show. Best possible present. But yeah, so Billy Barnes was the first ever professional manager of Athletic Club de Bilbao. He has a loose familial connection to me.
It's a shame that the athletic managerial position isn't hereditary, because if it was, you'd be in charge.
100
years
later...
You know how Athletic have never gone down?
Yeah.
It's probably not a shame that the managerial position is hereditary, because that might have changed.
You were gonna give us some information.
Well, I was because the thing is, this is your family story.
Yeah.
But I thought, you know what? What would Phil really like? Phil would really like me to go and find out some stuff about him. Shall I tell you the most important thing?
Go on.
You pointed out he was the first professional manager at Athletic. Do you know what he was on?
I don't know.
He was making 5,000 pesetas a month. Which, considering it cost 4,000 pesetas to open the stadium on the rent of San Mamés, made him exceptionally well paid for the era. I worked it out, admittedly, with the help of a web page. I didn't do it myself. And that puts him at the equivalent of 160,000 euros, when we're talking about someone coaching them in you know, with the exchange, with the
a month.
No, a year. Okay. Which, no, you're right. A month. Bloody hell. Yeah. Okay. Anyway, it makes him exceptionally well paid because he was seen as being a bit special. What I like about this, I spoke to the guy that runs the museum at Athletic about him, because I thought, you know, one thing Phil would really like to know is proper information. And he said he was one of the most important and most forgotten men in our history, and we need to change that. He also described him as a man defined by wisdom.
Okay.
Which I thought, wow. You know, this fits. It all fits.
Passed down from generation to generation.
But what I particularly like about this is he turned up and he basically said they were doing it all wrong.
Yes.
All this pissing about passing the ball stuff wasn't a good idea. And what they had to do was be quicker, get the ball up the pitch quicker, and basically be more British.
Absolutely. So there we go. A fact about Athletic Club. Let's turn to the forthcoming season. What is going to happen with Athletic Club? They finished eighth last season. They should have done better. They should have got into Europe. They said they wanted to get into Europe.
I was thinking about this. How much better do you think they should have done? Because as you say, they finished eighth. Look at the teams above them. Look at the players that those teams have got in their squads. And how many of those teams would you expect them to finish above? Okay, Osasuna finished seventh. Athletic should have finished above Osasuna. But after that, Betis, Villarreal, I think they've got better squads, better players. I think something like seventh is about par, probably.
It's about how,
Athletic.
Though, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's the thing with Athletic from last season, that it wasn't that they finished where they finished, because I think that's about right. And I think if you were to say now, right, where do Athletic finish? You go somewhere between seventh and tenth every year, more or less, or sixth and tenth, if you like, if they have a really good season. But it's about the fact that they were in a position where it looked like they might take an extra step.
Mm.
It's about the fact that they were on this close to reaching another Copa del Rey final. Really pretty unlucky, I suppose, in many ways. But then they had that late season collapse. So I think it's more about the kind of the way it felt.
The sensations.
The sensations, yeah.
All right. We'll see what happens. What kind of prediction would you make for Athletic Club? You know the prediction I'm going to make?
Go on.
Raul Garcia is going to break Joaquin's appearance record. We were all saying last season
that would be big.
He would never. No one's ever going to break this record. Obviously, it's the record shared between Joaquin and Zubizarreta. Raul Garcia is 33 appearances away from equaling that record, and the twinkle-eyed bruiser has made at least 33 appearances in each of the last seven seasons. They haven't really got too many people up front.
That's
so
the thing, isn't it? There's no other real strikers, and he's not even really a striker.
You make a good case. I mean, he's not quite as universally loved in the way that Joaquin is.
No, he's not. But if Raul Garcia is in your team, then you love him.
To give you an example, an idea of how long Raul Garcia has been around, I still remember David Beckham and Guti playing against him, trying to wind him up by going up to him whispering, "Ugly." "Ugly." Every time they went past him. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Didn't work.
Well, it didn't work on that occasion. If I remember rightly, Madrid actually lost.
But, yeah.
But they tried to wind him up by calling him ugly. Who's laughing now?
Who is laughing now? Certainly.
Probably David Beckham, who's just signed Leo Messi.
Yeah. on to Atleti. Now, a fact about Atleti that it's not really a fact. I've got written here three words in my notes. Jesus Gil, crocodile.
Yeah. Jesus Gil used to take a crocodile.
Jesus Gil being an eccentric former president of...
Yeah, eccentric is one word.
Yeah. He had a baby crocodile about a metre and a half long that he used to take to games on a lead. And this crocodile was called Fury. It's a pretty good name for a crocodile. And he used to take it down to the press room after the games.
What, to make sure that everybody wrote what he wanted them to write?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Can you imagine sitting there going... Boss, I was just wondering how your team managed to be so wonderful and your president incredibly handsome.
It does add a whole new dynamic to the press room kind of ambience, doesn't it?
Fury the crocodile, I didn't know about that. Last season, Atletico were the best team in La Liga after the break? They had the best player in Antoine Griezmann.
They did, yeah. But then just at that point when they probably should have finished ahead of Real Madrid, and by the way, it would have been, correct me if I'm wrong, I think I'm right in saying... five in the last eight seasons finishing ahead of Real Madrid. And this is, I know everyone likes to have a go at Simeone a little bit, and we like to talk about the style and all of these kind of things, and how every season we seem to have this evolving into something else and then going, well, actually, maybe not, let's be more defensive. But actually what they've achieved, and just finishing ahead of Madrid that often, that regularly over the last decade is pretty extraordinary. In the end, as I say, it didn't happen. So maybe this argument falls on its face.
I think they could maybe do something this season because it feels like something clicked last year and everyone knows, everyone is on board with that project, what the idea is, what they're trying to do. That maybe some players that weren't on board are no longer.
Well, there. I was just about to say, you say everyone's on board, but it rhymes with bow and bellix. And I don't know how on board he is.
He's not going to be there by the time that the season gets underway. Maybe when the season gets underway, he is. But by the end of August, let's say.
Bow Bellix, yeah? Okay.
Who could it be?
I mean, who could Bow Bellix be? By the way, I know Atletico Madrid fans will absolutely hate this because I'm going to mention Real Madrid when we're talking about Atleti. Are there any Real Madrid fans here? Okay. I didn't see any Real Madrid t-shirts. I was sitting here going, surely there's got to be a couple. Sure.
There we go.
Anyway, so back to Atleti. Prediction for them this season. Is Griezmann going to do as well as he did last season? He can play all the games now, which helps.
Yeah, just because the numbers were so good last season, I think he probably won't. I mean, which isn't to say he won't play well.
Getting at least 15 goals and at least 15 assists in a season, in a league season, is incredible.
Am I alone in thinking that people don't actually talk about Griezmann enough? In terms of when you talk about the really great players, that at times, I personally think in 2016 and in 2018, he wasn't really in the conversation for the Ballon d'Or. And I think in both of those years, given what he did with the French team and what he did domestically, although it's slightly different, in 2016, correct me if I'm wrong, they won the Europa League. And I know it's not the Champions League, but he was central to that. Mm. There's a bit of me that thinks he's a player that probably should have been in that conversation more often.
We talk about him enough.
We do.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on and go to the south of the country. We're going to go to Cadiz. Sydney has found out an unbelievably good fact about Cadiz.
This fact is so good that I'm not sure I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go on, Sid.
Well, in 1970, a German referee patented the penalty shootout. The penalty shootout at the end of a game to settle a draw. And there's an Israeli guy who claims to have invented the penalty shootout after watching Israel, funnily enough, lose on a toss of a coin. And he thought, what? You know, we've got to find something better than this. But actually, the penalty shootout was invented by Cadiz in 1962 at the Cadiz preseason tournament, the Trofeo Carranza, which, of course, the stadium is no longer called the Carranza, but everyone knows it's their preseason tournament. The thing is, it was a bit different. Because, I mean, really and truly, it doesn't take that much to invent a penalty shootout. You've watched loads of games be drawn. You've watched games be settled by the toss of a coin. You're bound to think at some stage, this is a bit shit. And you're bound to come up with something else. Now, he came up with the idea, why don't we have penalties? And each team takes 5 each. In this Trofeo Carranza, Barcelona against Zaragoza was the game that it happened in. It finished 3-3. It goes to penalties. They took 5 each at different ends of the ground and in order. They drew the first round of penalties. They had to do 5 more at each end. Barca scored all 5. Zaragoza stepped up, missed the first one, it was over. So this wasn't ideal and it wasn't perfect, but this was the first, supposedly the first penalty shootout. As I say, it then carried on because you get Italy getting winning the semi-finals of the European Championships as late as 1968. So it's 6 years after this. And you think someone at some stage would have said, you know, that's not a bad idea. It can be improved upon, but it's not a bad idea. But it took until 1972 for the International Board, as they like to call it in Spain, to actually say, right, we're going to do this and we're going to do it properly and we're going to do it alternating rather than 5 at one end and 5 at the other.
Cadiz invented the penalty shootout.
It's a great fact.
Did not know that. Cadiz, the football team, it's a place that we love. It's a city that we really enjoy visiting. It's got a special ambience to it. The football team has not necessarily been as colourful and flamboyant.
Fun. It's so much fun.
Are they?
Not always to watch, yeah, that's not, true.
Yeah.
Fair point.
So if not to watch, then what?
Just to go to.
Right, okay.
Like you can go to a game at Cadiz. It doesn't matter if it's rubbish, because it's fun being there.
Yeah. Well, it matters. Well, it's quite far to get to, you know. It's difficult to get to. But Cadiz struggled last season. I think they're going to struggle again this season, unfortunately. But La Liga is a better place with them in it, I think.
There's also something I think quite important, and this I think was played out at the back end of this season. They struggled, but they knew they were going to struggle. So they're not in this position where they're thinking, oh my God, we're down near the bottom right at the end of the season.
Well, yeah.
They knew they were going to be there. I remember mentioning this to you on the pod a few times, that at the start of the season, when I went to see Atletico San Luqueño play, and it's about 50 minutes from Cadiz. And
just dropping that in there, you know, on my summer holidays, I went to watch.
Yeah. Obviously.
Yeah.
As you
don't deny that we've been looking at pre-season friendlies in Valencia.
We have.
Anyway, there are 2 Cadiz players involved in Atletico San Luqueño and talking to them after the game. And they were saying, well, yeah, it's going to be hard. It's what we expect. And that's different, I think, to teams like Espanyol, who find themselves in that situation and bottle it, to be honest. Well, not bottle it, but are frightened by it.
Okay. Let's see how Cadiz get on this season. Moving on to the magnificent region of Navarra, to Osasuna. A few Osasuna fans in here. Good to see. Good to see. Sid, you've got a... What are you doing with the ball, Sid?
I was going to do it at some point.
You're making me nervous.
I just can't have the ball there and not be holding it.
He'll be doing keepy uppies in a minute.
Yeah, I will, yeah.
Sid, they need to be there for glorious purposes.
No, anyway. If I promise to hold it the right way around, is that all right?
All right. Yeah.
Just hold check. Right look, there's okay. A thumbs up all over right, there. Right. There you go.
Your fun fact about Osasuna is it's another good one. It's another one that I had no idea about.
I like this one. Yeah, I do like this one. So the first team to play at El Sadar wasn't Osasuna. But it's not just that it wasn't Osasuna, it was their rivals, although I think this is a rivalry that, and forgive me Osasuna fans for saying this, doesn't feel as real as it should, but it was their rivals Real Zaragoza. What Osasuna did for the opening of El Sadar was organise a freeway tournament. But they didn't put themselves in the first game. So the first game was Zaragoza against Vitoria Setúbal.
Oh, wow.
So Osasuna didn't play on the first day of El Sadar. They played on the second, having watched Vitoria Setúbal and Zaragoza draw 1-1, I believe. The Zaragoza goal scored by Marcelino.
Yeah.
Not that one from Newcastle, right. Yeah. But the one who won the what's it called? What's it called? The European Championships, El de Copa. Yeah, the European Championships with Spain. And then they played the second game.
Was it a good game? I'm assuming you were there. I'd be disappointed if you weren't at Zaragoza against Vitoria Setúbal.
I was definitely there. Yeah, of course. I'd just turned 40 at the time, and it was quite fun.
Let's move on and talk about a team who are pretty close to Osasuna geographically. Deportivo Alavés, El Glorioso, who are back in La Liga after quite possibly the most dramatic promotion ever. I don't know if you guys watched it, followed it, saw what happened. 129th minute penalty against Levante. There's a Levante fan here. Sorry.
That is hard.
We'll move on.
We'll move on quick. We'll go. But 129th minute penalty sent Alaves up and confined Levante to a financial
oblivion. You could argue one of the most significant penalty kicks.
Yeah.
Like one kick, you know, in terms of financially, in terms of everything for both clubs, sort of a sliding doors moment, if you will.
No, very much so.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
Gwyneth Paltrow.
One of your favourite films, Sid.
It was
I actually don't think I've ever seen it, to be honest.
It was
Asya. You don't watch films. I established this.
Yeah. It was Asya. Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I thought it was Gwyneth Paltrow.
It wasn't Gwyneth Paltrow. Sorry. It was like the opposite of Gwyneth Paltrow, who scored the penalty. The fact...
I reckon Gwyneth Paltrow looked quite good with a big beard, though.
The fact that we have about Deportivo Alavés...
Do it, Kitro. Do it.
Go on.
Is that they have the best stadium name in the world.
Go on.
Do they?
Say the name.
Go on, say it.
Mendizorroza. And if say it, you've got to close your eyes like that.
See,
have
that,
moment,
that could have been like one of our games, moment. You know. Yeah. That could have been.
Do you
that
know what? That should work quite nice. We could put that in. We could invent a new game.
The Estadio Mendizorroza, it's actually a really good stadium. It doesn't just have a great name.
It's a modern stadium. And in that sense, you could kind of imagine that it wouldn't be that good. But somehow it really works. It's quite tight to the pitch. The stadium, I think it feels the most like, bizarrely, is possibly Loftus Road.
Loftus
because
Road,
it's
okay.
Kind of a bit corrugated. It's kind of close to the pitch. It's quite tight. It's blue and white.
It's the Mask Loftus Road.
Yeah, I mean, Alaves are... tell you what, I've really insulted them quite badly.
No!
There. My brother's a QPR fan, by the way, so I'm allowed to say this.
Yeah, the Bas Loftus Road. So go to the Bas Loftus Road if you can. It's a terrific place, and there's a lovely restaurant around the corner called...
Oh, my word.
Sagartoki. We went there once 6 years ago or something, and Sid still goes on about what we ate there, so...
What
did you love?
I took that they do these things.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to call them. Yeah. They're like a little deep fried
little parcel, right?
Yeah.
Of very fine, crunchy, what would you call it, pastry. And inside there's an egg and a bit of chorizo. And the egg is warm. And when you bite into it, it explodes into your mouth. And I thought I was overdoing this. And the last time I went to see Alaves play, I went with my son and... He said to me, "Oh, come on." So we're sitting at this bar. Go on, try this. And he just went, boom.
We've spent
he still
more
talks
time on this parcel than we have on
clubs.
Amazing.
We've heard that parcel story quite a lot. So I'm glad.
Have you seen the video of the parcel story? I think you have, of him going, Daddy says this is quite nice, but I'm not so.
Good. So there you go. Go to Sagartoki and get the eggy parcel.
It's got a name. I can't remember what it is. I'm sorry. But if you say eggy parcel, they know.
Moving swiftly on, we're going to Barcelona. the fact that we've got about Barcelona.
I mean, of all the great players in Barcelona's history, Sid, you know, who are we going to focus on? Is it Messi? Is it Ronaldinho?
Cruyff?
Is it Cruyff? Is it Eto? Who is it?
Do you know what? Shall I act out this player's finest moment as a Barcelona player?
Give me the mic.
Finest moment of this Barcelona player's career. All of the players are standing in a line. They're about to hand the league trophy over to the captain of the club. And he goes, oh, not me.
It's Alex Song.
Yeah. Of course.
It was so acutely embarrassing, that moment. It was completely brilliant.
I can't watch it, but yeah. Tell us a fact about Alex Song, Sid. Why have we picked Alex Song?
Yeah, an underappreciated.
Oh, underappreciated because he's a record breaker. Yeah. No player has joined any club in La Liga history and taken so long to lose. It took him 31 games to lose. Wow. He went away to Real Sociedad and lost at Anoeta. 29 victories, 2 draws in his first 31 games as a Barcelona player. Alex Song.
Well, I for one am very happy that we're talking about Alex Song's legacy at Barcelona. I think it's an important thing for us to mention in our one show the year. Talking about Barcelona, though, the forthcoming season, they're not going to be playing at the Camp Nou. It's going to be weird.
I feel like we haven't fully sort of processed that fact and what a big deal this is for and how it's going to change Barca's season, not playing at Camp Nou.
I think it changes everything. And you look at
what's Montjuïc like, by the way? I haven't been there.
Most people will think I'm an idiot for saying this. I quite like it. I like the approach to it. I like the location of it. I like that feeling that it's kind of a special place. But the stadium itself, from a football point of view, is dreadful.
Right.
Because it's got a running track. The stands are quite shallow. So you can be a very, very long way back and not very high up. So the view is actually really pretty poor.
Okay.
Espanyol, it's curious because Espanyol, and you speak to people at the club, they were so conscious of the fact that going to a new stadium was going to be everything for them. It was going to resolve all of their problems. They were going to get 10 or 15 points a season more because they were playing in their own ground. And actually, it didn't work out that way. In terms of results, Montjuic was actually very good for them. But it never felt like home. I think it won't feel like home for Barcelona. But there is something about that location that's quite
and
nice.
And it's something that had to happen because Camp Nou was falling apart. You know, this had to happen at some point.
Yeah, I suppose it did. Yeah, and I guess there are different ways of doing it, but there wasn't really an alternative, I don't think.
So you say the location's nice, but in terms of watching football, it's absolutely terrible.
It's not very good. I mean, it's not very good.
Okay.
I'm going to try and find something. I was there for Steve Finnan's presentation. That's how long ago, honestly. And I remember being in the dressing room with Finnan as he was getting ready for the presentation. And like, even the dressing rooms were bad. There was paint was pouring. It was sort of tearing off the wall.
They might have gotten
it a lick of paint since then, yeah.
Alex Song, tick. Steve Finnan, tick.
All of the real legends here.
Yes. Our prediction for Barcelona this season, my prediction is for Inigo Martinez to make it into our handsome 11 of the season. If maybe not the starting 11.
Well, I mean, remember you forgot Pau Torres.
Don't bring that up. Yes, I did forget Pau Torres. We've spoken about that and we weren't.
He's gone now.
He's gone.
Do you know why he went, don't you?
Why?
Because you left him out of that 11.
he felt undervalued.
Underappreciated. He was going to go to England where they would realise.
Screw that Greek guy.
Exactly.
Get out of here. But yeah, a prediction for Barcelona? Just a general one. I'm not looking for a number.
points
total.
Yeah. I don't think they win the league this year.
Oh, it's a big call.
Okay.
You heard
they're
it first.
They're filming that. That's going on the socials. Oh.
When they do, I'm getting...
Feel free to get in touch, Barca fans.
At me.
Hashtag La Liga TSFP Live. Let's move on from one Spanish footballing giant to another. There is a Getafe fan here. We've got the London Penner of Getafe here.
Did you see the name on the back of the shirt?
No.
Oh, go on.
Show us.
Oh! Magnificent.
Wow.
Bordelas, wow. Tequiro.
Hold on. Do you really support Getafe? Genuinely?
It's not a bit.
It's fantastic. So, yeah, great to have the whole Penner here. Let's...
sorry, was it?
No, but it is good to have representation for everyone, and Getafe should be represented. They are there, and they are very important in La Liga because they are the closest stadium to Sid's house.
until Alcorcón get promoted to the first division, Getafe are the closest stadium to my house.
How close?
I don't know. Phil actually worked it out for me.
I went on Google Maps. I was like, Sid, what's your address again? Can I? It's 17 minutes.
I thought you were going to post me something, but you were just trying to work out how close I live to Getafe.
17 minutes.
You know, I waited for the postman day after day thinking Phil sent me something really nice.
17 minutes to a Getafe, which is why often you find Sid there on a Friday watching Getafe when he really could have been doing a lot of other stuff, but it's just so close. I might as well.
And also, he loves it.
Yeah.
I do love Getafe, you know.
So talking about Bordalás, he's back. And I think we know what to expect. They're not going to have the ball.
They don't want the ball.
They're not going to complete passes. They're going to make fouls. But they're going to stay up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are. And then they might do more than stay up. I think we do slightly overlook how much of an extraordinary achievement it was what he did the first time around with Getafe.
What, taking them from second bottom in the Segunda División
to the verge of the Champions
League. So close.
Yeah, and to the knockout stages of the Europa League, beating Ajax. Just that was wonderful. Okay. By the way, we've got a top tip here. Let's talk Getafe's thriving gastronomic scene. There's a KFC near the ground.
And a Foster's Hollywood.
Foster's Hollywood, yeah. Important as well. But yeah, listen, you know, we're joking, but Getafe, go and watch a game there if you're in Madrid. It's worth it. You'll probably see Sid there. Moving on to, are we going to sing it?
Are we?
Girona. Da, 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 da.
It's the catchiest anthem in La Liga.
Do you know what? You don't even need to be at the ground. You can be watching on the telly while they're doing the post-match interview with the player at the side of the pitch. And it's a miracle that the player doesn't say, instead of, well, at the end of the day, it was 11 against 11. It's been a really tough game. Doesn't just break into song. It's unbelievably catchy.
It's unbelievably catchy. It's the smallest stadium in La Liga. It's in a fantastically beautiful city. And quietly, last season, they played some of the best football in the division as well.
I believe you came up with a hashtag for it.
Always watch Girona.
Always watch Girona.
Is that
they,
what it is? Yeah.
They were scoring.
They were added to the list of always watch teams.
Yeah, not the originals, but yeah.
No, but they scored lots and lots of goals. They were nice
to
watch.
They conceded lots.
They conceded loads of goals as well. Obviously, you got the Tati Castellanos moment when he gets... Was it 3 or 4 now?
Four.
Was it 4, wasn't it?
Four goals against Real Madrid.
Against Real Madrid. The last person to do that played for Real Oviedo. The person before that to do it... play for Real Oviedo. The person before that to do it actually didn't, but the person before that did. Three of the previous four to do it to Real Madrid have played for Real Oviedo.
How long
did it take?
That, Sid?
Have you got that on your bingos?
35 minutes before we mentioned Real Oviedo.
No, I was asking how long ago were those goals scored? It was over half a century.
I was a wee young boy at the time.
Yes. But there we go. Go to Girona and watch them score lots and concede lots as well.
They are the most recent Primera División debutants as well.
Oh, it's true. They came up in 2017.
2017. Yeah.
Yes.
No one knew who's been up since.
That's true. That's the fact about Girona. We've got a really good fact about Granada as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you figured this one out.
Well, it didn't take a huge amount of figuring out, but they, in February 2017, just before Girona came up, they were the first team in La Liga to play a starting 11 with 11 different nationalities.
Granada.
Yeah. Yes. Do you reckon you can guess the nationalities?
No.
Oh, that was a...
Spain.
Bit lacking in...
Yeah.
Spain actually is one of them, although they later, when Tony Adams took over, had a starting 11 with 11 different nationalities that didn't include a Spaniard.
Oh, wow.
And, of course, had Adams as an Englishman as coach. So it was starting 11 plus coach, 12 different nationalities.
Wow.
Okay, so you got Memo Ochoa in goal.
Mexico.
Adrian Ramos.
Colombia.
Ingerson.
Iceland.
Gaston Silva.
Uruguay.
Ah, yes. Ongla.
Cameroon.
Wakaso.
Ghana.
Andres Pereira.
Brazil.
The one that was at Man United, yeah. Fulquier.
France.
Oh, Bordalás likes Fulquier. Uche.
Nigeria.
Carcela.
Morocco.
And the Spaniard was Hector.
Viva España.
There you go.
So that was Granada's international 11. They're back in La Liga. Obviously, they were promoted from the Segunda last season. And it means that Paco López is back in the division. You will remember his exploits with a Levante side that always seemed to play attacking football and beat the big boys. And maybe we can expect something similar from them this season, Granada.
There's an enthusiasm about him, which I like, and a willingness to allow players to play and to go for people, and occasionally it can be risky, but I think the first division is better off with Paco Lopez being there.
Definitely. You like him, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good fun.
Yeah. All right. So there we go. Not always watch Granada, but you know.
No, that would be a push.
They should be fun.
Good place to go, though.
It's a great place to go. It's where I did my year abroad.
He's still recovering, the city.
I should be able to give you tips here of where to go in Granada.
Yeah, how much do you remember of that year?
It's relatively hazy. So, yeah, it's not... let's move on. We'll go back to the Spanish capital and the mighty Rayo Vallecano. Fantastic. At the time of recording, they're the only La Liga team yet to have a shirt announced for this season. So that's one fact.
One thing to look forward to.
Yeah, but you've got another fact, Sid. Maradona played for Rayo.
What did he?
Well, his brother did. Hugo Maradona actually played more games for Rayo than he played for anyone else.
Hugo Maradona.
How was he any good?
Well, it was all right. He played for Rayo between 88 and 90. Straddled, correct me if I'm wrong, and I might be. I think straddled second division and first division was part of a promotion winning team. But yeah, he was at Rayo Vallecano. It kind of fits in a way, don't you think? Like, but Rayo should have a Maradona, but not that one.
A Maradona.
A Maradona, just not that one. It feels right.
Yeah, Poundland Maradona. Yeah. Hugo.
Maradona from the Todo Hacien.
Yeah. We'll see how Raya got on this season.
Are you not hopeful? You've got a soft spot.
I do. But the team is being dismantled and there's a new manager and it's going to be tough. But we'll see. I think if Raya can avoid relegation, I'll be happy.
Shall I take you back to what you said about Inigo Martinez?
Being very handsome?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Raya's new manager.
Ryan's new manager is Francisco. He is a well-turned-out man.
Isn't he?
He's smooth.
Well-dressed.
Yeah. He's smooth. To be fair, we're going about handsome players. The manager pool in La Liga in terms of aesthetic pleasure is low. So Francisco is Francisco is probably top, I would say. Our prediction for Ryan this season is that season tickets will eventually go on sale 2 weeks into the season.
Yeah.
Which is what happened last year. Tip, if you want to go to Rayo, go to Mesón Moreno, which is my favourite place, which is literally just opposite the stadium on the Albufera. You might see me there, and we can have an oversized sandwich together. So, we've come to sort of the end of the first part, but before we go to a break and desperately urge you to spend money on alcohol and food, we're going to play a game.
Ooh. Yes.
And to play this game... we need two contestants. Now, we all know that club anthems are one of the best things about Spanish football, but can you identify the club from the lyrics? We need two volunteers to step up for the chance to win a La Liga shirt, TSFP merchandise, loads of stuff. So, who would like to play?
Hands up.
And there at the back, okay, tattooed arms gone
up. They were the first two hands.
Jose, yep, let's go.
Oh, is that a Girona shirt as well? Girona.
Yeah. You called him. He's heeded your call.
Girona.
Come on up, guys.
Hello.
Hello, hello. How are we doing?
Ira, you don't support Girona. You support Barcelona. You were here last year. He was here last year. He's a Barca fan. Anyway, but it's a lovely shirt. So... this is what we're
I don't know why
do.
I got up, by the way.
You don't need to get
upset. I was just adjudicating.
All right. Now, we're going to read you a lyric from a club anthem. Okay? The first one to name the right club gets a point, and you each get three guesses. So I'm going to read the lyric. You guess, you guess, you guess. And the first one to get it right, you get three guesses, all right? Alternatively.
So he's going to guess first.
He's going to guess first, all right? So, in your play, nobility is united with gallantry. Nobleness is your emblem. Courage is your crest. Gallantry, nobleness.
Atletico Madrid.
It's not. It's close, but it's not right.
I'm going to go Barcelona.
It's not. Back to you.
Bilbao.
It's not. Gallantry and nobleness.
Yeah, what comes to mind when you think
gallantry
those two adjectives?
And nobleness.
Real Madrid.
No. Gallantry, nobleness. Courage is your crest.
Valencia.
No. Last chance, Jose.
I'm going to go... it's two. Getafe.
Yeah!
Of course.
Of course. Obvious.
For the last ball.
For the last. There we go.
So it's 1-0.
Here we go. Next one. I promise to give you eternal love, even though sometimes you fail me in my heart. I promise not to leave you alone during the bad times like an illusion, because if you did not exist, my life would not be the same. Sounds like wedding.
You did use that for your wedding, didn't you?
Or like a sort of a power ballad from the 80s or something, yeah.
So, you go first this time.
I'll go first.
Yeah.
Sevilla.
No.
Rio.
No.
Betis.
No. But I see what you're doing.
Osasuna.
No. Think of sort of love and passion and fire.
Where are we now? It's not Cadiz, but
it is Cadiz.
Oh, 2-0.
Oof.
He's 2-0 up.
Okay. Here we go. You need a remontada here, okay?
Yeah, right. Because one more. This and it's
is
all over.
This is talking about the. I don't think you're going to get this one. This is talking about the city of the club. Okay.
Wait, this one, it sounds like you're here. It sounds like you've made it.
It sounds
up,
like I've made
but
it.
But this
up,
is but it's real.
Okay. It's about the city. It has an altruistic soul. It has a universal soul. It has, as its queen and as its patron, a brown-haired woman. A brown-haired woman who came from the sea.
Cadiz.
No. Oh. Think, you're gone.
Valencia?
No.
Sociedad?
No, a brown-haired woman.
Is that,
who came from the
is
sea.
Is that helpful? Is the woman a bit helpful? I'm not sure.
Brown-haired woman.
Let's go Celta de Vigo.
No. Now, there's a clue in this last one because
okay.
Think last season. That's the clue. Last season. La Liga, last season. Not this season, last season.
That's a big clue.
It's a big clue, mate. Last season. not the one we got.
Elche.
Hey!
Yay!
Do you know how sometimes when you watch a telly, you put the subtitles on? I think there might have been some subtitles going on over there.
So you won.
You got the brown head. Whoa. He knew. There we go. Right. So it's 2-1.
2-1.
An enemy during the contest, but in defeat, always shaking hands without envy or rancor, like a good and faithful brother.
Valencia?
No.
Vigo?
No. In defeat, always shaking hands. Without envy.
Let's go back to Seville. Betis?
No.
No.
Almeria?
No.
Siempre da la mano, no?
Yes.
Osasuna?
No.
Villarreal?
It's Real Madrid. Yes. Because, you know, without envy or rancor. Ever. Now, final one. What is this?
So last one, and we could happy? Still have a draw.
We could still have a draw.
We could have a penalty shootout, five at each end.
We could still have a draw, and we don't have a tiebreaker, so let's
sit and make one up.
I can make one up for you.
Right. Here we are, all together to sing your song to you. We are all huddled together like cannonballs. There is no one that can outdo this fan base.
Sevilla.
No.
Valencia.
No. Like cannonballs. Like cannonballs. Huddle together like cannonballs. It's not really a clue, I'm just saying.
Okay. do cannonballs huddle?
Levante.
No.
Alaves.
No. All right, here we go. I'm going to sort of sing it to the tune and the first one to shout out with.
Okay.
Here we are all together to sing your song to you. We're all huddled together like cannonballs.
When you do it...
What does it actually say in Spanish? Does it actually say... What?
No, no one? Okay.
I don't actually know what Spanish for cannonball is.
It's Betis, but there we
go. It's
Betis. The Betis fans got that, right?
Yeah.
You got, obviously.
So it ends obviously. With a 2-1 win.
With a 2-1 win for Jose. Well done, Jose.
Your prizes, guys. Both of you are going to get a La Liga shirt from the La Liga box. I'm going to bring it over to you right now, and you're going to pick a La Liga shirt from the box.
So you both get a shirt, and Jose gets a TSFP mug. So,
that's good choice.
Bravo! Bravo! So this is the quality of the prizes. There's two more games. So if you if you want some merch and
now that you can see how good it is.
All right. So that's the end of part one. Go and get a drink. Go and get some food. We are going to do that as well. And we'll be back in 20 minutes or so to continue the show. So thank you.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So, we will continue and we will take a trip to the magnificent northwest of the country, to the region of Galicia, the only Galician representative in La Liga. Sorry, there's a Depor fan here. I didn't do that. That felt like a dig.
But it really did feel like a dig.
It's been another tough year for Depor.
Yes. Hopefully they'll be back soon enough. A fact about Celta, and obviously everybody knows we love Barry Aspas.
We do love Barry
Aspas. He's a magnificent Barry. He's maybe the best Barry. He's not the only Barry to have played for Celta.
I'll be honest with you. I was sad enough to go through the squad lists of Celta's entire history.
What?
The archives.
And the tragedy is I started at the furthest back and I found a Barry in 2021. A real Barry. Now, sort of a real Barry. His name is Diego Hernández Barriuso, known to everybody, and I'm actually going to read this in Spanish just to prove I'm not making it up. Conocido como Barry. Known as Barry. I imagine that the reason he never played in the first team, because he was actually signed for the B team, was because this team is not big enough for two Barrys. Anyway, there was a genuine, real Barry who went to Celta in January 2021, a player, and I am reading verbatim now from the report of when he signed for them, who stands out for his versatility, because he can play as a central midfielder or as an organiser.
Oh, wow. Okay, yeah. So Diego Barry.
Diego Barry.
Not the only Barry, Barry Aspas. We've been giving you facts about teams so far. Celta's new manager knows a thing or two about facts.
Facts.
I don't think anyone had Rafa Benitez coming back to La Liga on their bingo card for next season at Celta Vigo.
No. Do you think Barry had it on his bingo card? Because this could be brilliant for Barry.
Barry's
bingo
card.
But there is a chance, isn't there, that it could be really quite bad for him.
It feels like it could go either way. And those two ways could both be quite extreme. Like it could go very, very well or really quite bad.
It does feel like the kind of thing you think we could be 4 months into the season and Barry is not playing.
Does Rafa sort of build a team around Barry, or is there a sort of a personality clash there?
Does Rafa say something similar to what he said to Luka Modric, which was like, don't do that outside of the boot nonsense?
What would be the equivalent of that for Barry? I don't know.
Like, don't run around and give everything.
Yeah, don't puff your chest out.
You know.
Remember going to see Barry and asking Michu, what shall I ask Barry? Because Michu played with him at Celta. And Michu says, just ask him where he thinks he's going with that tin chest of his. And I'd never thought of it like this. And then you look at Barry Aspas and you think, it's like a piece of armor. His chest is this kind of weird kind of Yeah.
Yeah. So there we go.
I mean, you know.
We were going to talk quite a lot about Barry. We don't know what's going to happen with Rafa. As you said, it could go one of either two ways.
I would like to think that it might go really well.
I don't think there's any middle ground. No. It's either they're either going to get Champions League or, you know, relegated. So let's see. Let's move on and go to one of the most beautiful islands in the Mediterranean. It's not the Greek island, so it's not that beautiful, but next. Yeah, it's not bad. Mallorca. Fact about Mallorca. Now, hold on. Their stadium is called Son Moix. I will literally just give a T-shirt now to anybody who knows what Son Moix means in Mallorcan.
I'm amazed that no one knows it.
I didn't know. No, didn't None know. Of us knew. It's ridiculous.
In fact, you had to look it up on a
Well,
translator.
I had to double check because I had a moment of doubt. Yeah. But I was stupid enough to look it up on a Catalan translator.
No. Okay, we've given them enough time to Google it. It is the house of the cat.
Cat house. Yeah.
Casa del Gato.
Yeah. That's quite unfortunate.
Some people are laughing at cat house. I didn't know there was a connotation to that. No. Apparently there is a connotation to cat house. Anyway, Son Moix is the house of the cat. Slightly cleaner version. House of the cat, where Mallorca play, led by Javier Aguirre.
I love Javier Aguirre.
We all like Javier Aguirre, I think.
And what he has done there is incredible.
Yeah, it is. And it's built on something that makes you fear that it can't be repeated. The nature of the way that they overachieved this year, because Javier Aguirre is one of the most fabulously charismatic people you could wish to meet. He's one of those people you literally immediately, you can walk into a room with him and immediately he kind of fills the room. It almost feels like he physically fills the room. That everything he says kind of takes you with him. There's an enthusiasm, there's a kind of that sort of hand on the shoulder thing as he's talking to you. He's just brilliant. And yet it comes across as being genuine, even if you think that he's playing a role. And I'm sure that with a lot of his players, he is. And I think that's one of the reasons why it works so well, because I'm very childish, as you know, but there's something about his potty mouthness. There's something about how direct he is. There's something about how this willingness to kind of wind people up and call them dickheads and just kind of, you know, just sort of play that part that works really, really well. My doubt would be whether it works more than once, because if you look, and we use the statistics, we were looking at these last year, things like expected goals and stuff, they massively overachieved last year. And playing the same way again, it's hard to imagine that it correct me if I'm wrong, I think they won five games in a row, 1-0 last season at home. It's hard to imagine that keeps happening, which, by the way, is applicable to what I said earlier about Barcelona not winning the league next year. It's hard to imagine Barcelona having that same kind of momentum.
Yes.
I've just used Barcelona and Mallorca as parallels, yeah.
Well, they won a lot of games 1-0. Javier Aguirre, he doesn't call them dickheads, though, does he?
No, chico madre. Yeah,
cabrones.
There's that lovely moment when there was a comment about how one of his players had said, well, if we win this game, we'll celebrate, we'll go to the pub. He goes, those bastards are mad. You don't enjoy a football match. You can't go to the... But then, you know, afterwards, I think he probably does.
He had a whiskycito.
I was there after the game that they won at Osasuna to stay up last season. Ooh. And he came through the flash zone, which is where the kind of the post-game TV interviews are, and he came through and he was desperately looking for his wife, because his wife goes to every single game. His wife was up in the director's box and he couldn't find the way to get up there, and basically a colleague of mine had to kind of say, Javi, I'll take you up there and come and show you, so he could go and say hello to his wife, who goes to every game, suffers every match with him, and kind of, you know, give her a hug and say, oh, we made it, because it was a miracle them surviving. He came back down, he did the interviews, and he was absolutely pouring with sweat. And he beamed for it, I think, as much as his players had.
Let's see if they overachieve once again next season, because a top 10 finish for Mallorca was wildly overachieved.
Well, and Kangin's gone as well.
There is no Kangin
league. Well, I mean, that's the example, by the way, of how he manages. Last year, obviously, he had Morici playing up front, and Morici is... Well, I'm going to use Aguirre's words, and this explains it to you. Morici is that big, ugly bastard. So you look at him, and he's so ugly.
I respect Vedat Morici a lot. To be that rich and to not do your teeth, I completely respect that, because he doesn't care. He doesn't care. He doesn't care. He also wildly overachieved as well. He scored 15 league goals last season.
It's extraordinary, really. Yeah, it really is. He's like kind of a... he's a Kosovan Andy Carroll, isn't he, basically?
That's exactly what he is. Yeah. All right, let's move on to talk about Real Betis. We've got some Betis fans in, which is always good. They're Betis fans everywhere. As Betis fans will always tell you.
They are, yeah.
They will always tell you. There are Betis fans everywhere, but they do tend to pop up. Now, we've got a fun fact about Betis involving one of their managers.
Yeah, I love this. I'm going to tell you.
I mean, we've probably mentioned this before, so regular listeners to the podcast.
Have we? I didn't remember it when Sid told us. So.
Well, I'm going to give you the what's the word I'm looking for? The plot for a book. The discovery of a collection of ancient manuscripts. I mean, it sounds naff already, doesn't it? The discovery of a collection of ancient manuscripts in a cave near the Dead Sea grabs the attention of an eccentric millionaire by the name of Kyle Lograft. Kyle Lograft, provoking a chase for the truth that will rock the very foundations of the Catholic Church. Soon, the intrepid archaeologist even discovers that he's not alone as the mystery unfolds. Even the Vatican is drawn into the dramatic, unpredictable pursuit that takes Lograft all the way around the globe with the Egyptian mafia.
This sounds like the biggest Da Vinci Code ripoff.
Funny you should say that, because at the presentation of the book, the author said he was asked to describe what his book was like. He said, it's a thriller with a touch of Dan Brown.
A touch.
That author was Pepe Mel,
yeah.
former Real Betis manager. Didn't see that one coming. Yeah, okay, so yeah. We had mentioned it on the podcast. Yeah, Pepe Mel is...
I really like Pepe Mel, by the way.
How many books has he written?
He's
written three books. His second book was called The Road to Beyond.
It was a good one. I like that.
I preferred the third book, which was The Road to the Colosseum Getafe.
It's as good as chapter six. They've lost Sergio Canales, which is really disappointing. I mean, we're here to talk about La Liga and look forward to the next season, and we're bigging it up and we're getting excited, etc. But they've lost one of the best footballers, and he's gone to Mexico, and it's just really quite disappointing.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, you seem broken.
Yeah, really. I mean, there are such a lovely player to watch. Let's not talk about him.
Well, look, they've still got Nabil Fekir.
Oh, I love
Fekir. Fekir's brilliant. Hector Bellerin's back. He's brilliant.
Hector is brilliant. He really... I mean... Beyond the footballer, yeah. Because actually it didn't work out at all for him at Barcelona and barely played. Partly, of course, because you got Jules Koundé who could play it right back. But also, I think they looked at him and thought, maybe he's not quite the player we want him to be. But he just comes across as a brilliant bloke in every way.
As does the Panda.
Yeah, the Panda's lovely. The Panda's completely brilliant. And those two, I think, are a really good pair.
All right, so they're all lovely. Well, you know, are they going to do anything this season in La Liga?
Are they going to be any... Well, they're quite good at football as well. And the Panda is quite good at football, to be fair to him.
They are. All right, let's move on to Real Madrid.
Do you know what? How funny would it be to say, we're not talking about Real Madrid here.
Yeah, we'll just move...
It seems like we've got a really anti-Madridista crowd today.
Yeah, well, maybe.
There's a few
Real Madrid fans. So good. Fun fact for you. Did you know...
Oh, go on.
Did you know...
Oh, God. See you. If any of you have a
young child...
Bloody hell.
Yeah.
Everything is... See you. Everything. Dinner time, see you! Horrible Histories is on the telly, see you!
My boy does it with a Messi shirt on, which I was like...
Fantastic.
Anyway, fun fact about Real Madrid.
Oh, go on.
They've won the UEFA Champions League 14 times.
Have they?
They don't like to talk about it much.
No, you don't hear it.
There we go. So
I didn't know that.
Didn't know anyone. Yeah. This summer, what are we going to tell you about Real Madrid? We know, you know everything about Real Madrid in terms of the facts. This season, feels like this summer, it's the first summer that we're not talking about or hearing people mention that, you know, we're going to have either Gareth Bale or Eden Hazard as a new signing. They're back. They're a new signing.
They're gone.
That is one of the great Spanish sports media cliches, isn't it?
Yeah.
The signing is.
Yes.
Player who was already here and quite rubbish.
Yeah.
But don't worry, this year he's going to be brilliant. Yeah. So Hazard is the signing. What, again? I mean, you'd thought you'd have learned your lesson the first time. Yeah. Don't sign him again.
Yeah.
But yeah, this year, not the case.
No.
Because the signing is,
well, you know, we're going to talk about actual signings like Sid's mate Jude. Now, if you missed this, and I'm sure you didn't, at the press conference to introduce Jude Bellingham at Real Madrid, Sid asked a question.
Hey!
Hey, there we go.
I thought it was actually Jude Bellingham. Yeah.
You've come. Came to see Sid.
Bloody hell, that would be freaky, wouldn't it?
So Sid asked a question to which Jude began the answer by saying, I'm a big fan, by the way. You used to do La Liga on Sky and all the channels in England, so I'm a big fan. Sid, you've never actually worked for Sky.
So?
The real question is, does Jude Bellingham think you're Guillaume Balague?
I mean, the evidence suggests...
Do you know, the terrible tragedies he probably does.
No.
The terrible tragedy for Guillaume, by the way.
Yes.
I mean...
But no, let's say, look, he loves your work. Jude loves
he's a big fan.
Work.
Yeah. I've seen that clip many times.
Do you know what? I was sitting next to Tom Allnutt, and for some reason we were talking about Jude Bellingham, and I don't know why it came up, but I did point out that Jude Bellingham used to follow me on Twitter and doesn't anymore. And it genuinely must have been not more than 3 or 4 minutes before he said that. I said to him, I wonder if I did something wrong. I wonder if I've really pissed him off somehow. I was worried.
No, he just got really famous and then just got a burner account and then followed you from that.
Is that what you do? Have you got a burner account?
No. Let's talk about that... Kylian Mbappe. Real Madrid are interested in signing Kylian Mbappe.
I mean...
Have you heard this?
He might be coming. He might be...
Tick-tack.
What he's not doing is he's not going on pre-season tour with PSG, so...
Tick-tack. Shall I rub my hands and lick?
Tick-tack. Tick-tack. It just doesn't go away, does it?
No. But no, it's gonna happen, right? Right?
It is going to happen, but I don't know if it happens this year. It's a really, really weird one, this... Because the bottom line is, to use a Benitezism, the facts are that it suits everyone now for him to go to Real Madrid. If it wasn't for the enormous amount of money that would be involved in staying for a year and timing it differently. So Real Madrid would rather get him for free. He would rather have his loyalty bonus. And the fact it's called a loyalty bonus, obviously, is kind of comic at this stage.
Yeah.
But you know, the bottom line is that the criteria of the contract are what they are. And that is, you get to the 31st of July, there's a loyalty bonus, here's a very lot of money. That's obviously some of that money, the gap can be bridged by the signing bonus at Real Madrid, probably a change in the terms of the deal that would have been in place had he gone in a year's time. Although, of course, that ends up costing Real Madrid some money. He would probably have to lose some money to go now. Everyone has a financial stake in this, which actually isn't the same as the footballing stake. And that's part of the problem. The situation at the moment doesn't suit anyone. Mm. And yet at the same time, if he moves, sort of does suit everybody. I honestly don't know how it gets resolved.
Prediction for Real Madrid. You predict that they, every single season...
This is a running TSFP joke among us, that every single year, Sid predicts that Real Madrid are going to win.
Actually, last year I didn't. Because they'd won it the year before, and I kind of thought, well, it's done now, and I think we could see that the year before, the way they won it was so absurd that surely even Real Madrid.
So this year,
although there was a period this year as they started to get through again, I thought it's going to happen again, isn't it?
There was definitely a period
this year. Look at it in very sort of simplistic terms. If Mbappe comes to Real Madrid, who's got a squad that good?
Yeah,
yeah.
I genuinely don't think anyone's got a set of 11 players. As good as that. Now, are there some flaws in the Real Madrid team? Yes. Do they know how to put all these pieces together? Not yet. And it'll be really interesting to see how they succeed in that. And there is a really big question, which is that, and at the risk of sounding very, very stupid, there isn't actually a place for Mbappe in the team. At least there isn't his natural place in the team. Now, of course, it's stupid to say there isn't a place for Mbappe in the team because it's Mbappe. Mm. But that's where Vinicius has been brilliant on that left side. So you do need to reconstruct it a little bit. And that might not be easy, but I still think you then look at it and go, okay, 1 to 11, tell me a team that's got 11 players that good. And I'm not sure there's anyone.
We'll see. We'll see what happens if Mbappe comes. Tic-tac, tic-tac. Let's move on and speak about La Real, the fine club in the beautiful city of Donosti. He's just going gooey thinking about it. What a place.
It does always, always, always. Every time I think, oh, Donosti's brilliant, you turn up there.
Yeah.
And you spend most of your time running from doorway to doorway trying to get out the rain. I actually did, I'm sure I've told you this, but I did an interview with Martin Braithwaite wearing only a t-shirt and boxer shorts because I'd like to point out I wasn't with him.
Yeah.
That would be that would be really, really, really weird.
You walked in.
I walked in.
I mean, friend of the pod and all that, but that's pushing it a little bit. So I interviewed him. It was a day that I was in Donosti for, it must have been Real Sociedad against Man United, and it was by Zoom, and I was absolutely drenched. I got to the hotel, I was running late, I literally had 5 minutes, the interview was totally soaked. Basically took all my clothes off except the t-shirt and the box shorts and sat in front of the Zoom screen. And I was wondering if at the end I should have said, by the way, do you want to have a...
No. I mean, it's the beauty of Zoom that no one needs to... He didn't need to know.
They don't need to know.
Yeah, until now.
They can know if you want them to. Sorry, that sounded quite stalkery.
Yeah, that's, yes. It's gone off in a direction I didn't expect. No. What we were actually going to talk about...
Oh, sorry,
that
yes.
was really genuinely not in the script. What we're actually going to talk about, we mentioned my... great uncle Billy Barnes at Athletic Club. You've actually got a familiar relationship with La Real.
Yeah, if I tell you that Joaquin was 42 yesterday, happy birthday Joaquin, no longer playing, but is widely seen as the oldest player to ever played in La Liga at 41 years and I believe 10 months or maybe it was 9. But it's actually not true because the person who played older than him was Horace Lowe, Harry Lowe, L-O-W-E, spelt the correct way, with the E on the end. And he played at the age of 48 for Real Sociedad. Now, it's a bit of a cheat, this, because he was the coach. And he was a coach at Real Sociedad between 1930 and 1935, at a time when teams would travel with 11 players. There's no subs, so you travel with 11 players. The night before a game that they've traveled, one of the players gets ill. They don't really know what to do. Harry Lowe thinks, well, you know what? I'll put myself in the team. Plays the next day. Story goes he gave an assist, although I'm dubious about that. In fact, some people are dubious that he even played, but there is documentary evidence that he played the game. So Harry Lowe is the oldest person ever to play in La Liga, but he was manager at the time. And he wasn't player manager. He just put himself in because there was no one else.
And he wasn't actually a relation.
No.
Although he might have been.
I mean, I'm going to look it up. But he wasn't, was he?
No, he wasn't.
sorry about that.
We've had some actually really quite bad news for La Real in the last 24 hours with David Silva. Yeah. Sounds like he's going to retire.
Yeah, the curious... I mean, he's got an ACL injury. And is he 37 or 38? 37, I think. Which obviously... You get that injury at 27 and you carry on at 37 when you were wondering about retiring anyway. You don't. The curious thing about this, in a way, actually, is that this isn't the injury now, if you see what I mean. So he'd been having problems with his ACL for a few months. And the idea of retiring was already there. And this is a kind of an extra tear on a ligament that hasn't torn completely. But the decision is to end it, which is a real pity because actually one of the lovely things about the last couple of years has been watching David Silva still be brilliant. And I think in Spain... I think we didn't always appreciate how good he was because he went to City, because he was out of Spain for so long, because he was part of a great Spain generation where, yes, he played a part, but he wasn't the exciting one. You know, he wasn't Xavi, he wasn't Iniesta, he wasn't even David Villa. He played the first game of the World Cup, which they lost, and then didn't play again in 2010. So he maybe didn't always feel as central to their success as he should have done. I think him coming back was really lovely because not only that, but coming back to a club that everyone likes, that no one's got anything against, there was a real sense we could kind of enjoy him. And he was wonderful last year.
Especially last year. That's the thing. Brilliant. It felt like last year was the year and what a shame to not get to see him.
Yeah. Yeah. And just a brilliant footballer and quite normal
him,
as well.
They are going to miss him.
Did you hear the proposal for who might replace him?
I did.
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like a good idea. Isco.
Yeah. I mean, it's left field enough that there's a bit of me that thinks, maybe. Because the Silva was a really interesting signing, by the way, because Silva was basically done to Lazio. And then Martin Odegaard goes back to Real Madrid a year early, which with hindsight was, in fact, not even with hindsight, at the time, I think we all thought it was a mistake. A mistake for him, a mistake for Real Madrid, and a real pity for Real Sociedad. Real Sociedad suddenly have to react. And within 24 hours, they'd convinced David Silva not to go to Lazio, but to come to San Sebastian. Now, obviously, at this stage, you would say, well, I wonder what it was that attracted you to the most beautiful city in Europe. I mean, he was going to Rome. It's not like he was going to a terrible place. And it worked really well from that. First season was a little bit up and down, a little bit injury hit. But last year, he was so good, and it's a real pity.
And they are going to miss him, and they do have Champions League, and we'll see how they get on next season. Let's move on and talk about Sevilla.
Did you not have a Real Sociedad fact for us?
Do you want to do the Real Sociedad fact?
Yeah, because I just think it's great.
Go on.
The Real Sociedad fact, and you like this because you like your maps. That's a very... This kind of thing a grandfather would say, oh, you like your maps.
I like maps.
Yeah, it's fine.
Unai Emery and Donny Iraola Julen Lopetegui. Who am I missing?
Unai Emery. Oh, Mikel
Arteta.
Arrasate? No.
Arrasate. Basically, all of them are from Guipúzcoa, which is the smallest province in Spain. You're talking about 20% of the... Oh, I've just done maths. That was really stupid. I'm talking about 20% of the Premier League's managers, all from this tiny, tiny province, the smallest province in the whole of Spain. Do you know how small it is?
I do, yeah.
How small is it? Because I haven't written it down. You have.
It's 1,997 square kilometres.
Which is just extraordinary. It basically makes it the same size as Westmoreland and fractionally bigger than Surrey. Right, and you've got all these managers. And to try and put this into context, I actually looked up, admittedly only on the Wikipedia pages, I'm not claiming to have done great research here, I looked up notable people from Westmoreland and from Surrey. From Westmoreland, none.
Where
in sport, it's like that bit of sort of Cumbria-y sort of area, something like that. I don't know, up there somewhere, right? Sorry if anyone's from up there. Surrey, a cricketer called Matt Hall. That's Surrey's contribution to football.
Really?
Guipúzcoa, really?
Yeah.
Kind of, you know.
Guipúzcoa rocks. There we go. Tiny little Guipúzcoa. Moving on to Sevilla. Fun fact about Sevilla.
I mean, well, first of all, surely this season cannot be as dramatic as last season. From near relegation to winning the Europa League. Again, the fact, of course, we all know they've won the Europa League 7 times in the last 18 years. 7 out of 18.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's, you know, we'll get to the prediction for this season in a minute, but we all know that they're going to finish third in their group and end up winning the Europa League again. I mean, obviously.
They must be the only team in the world that can get knocked out of the Champions League and everyone goes, brilliant! Yes.
Here we go, it's back on.
Get in there! I mean, so much so that when they qualify for the Champions League, they must be secretly thinking, bollocks.
Yeah, should we go through this whole group stage thing or
do we really have to do this? Yeah.
They do need to sell some players.
Yeah.
Quite a lot of players. Need to bring in quite a lot of money. We'll see what kind of squad they have for the Champions League next season. But they've got Mendy in charge and he can spur them on to Europa League glory again.
In all honesty, if I was Mendilibar, and God willing one day I will be, if I was... I'd have walked out after Europa League. Exactly. I would say this about Messi after the World Cup final. Messi should have walked into the press conference room and said, see you later, gents, and just walked straight out again. But Mendilibar could have done that. It would have been great. And then gone and managed, you know, a big club. Oviedo.
Yeah, I mean, 3 mentions in an hour and a bit. That's good. That's good.
I'm restraining myself today.
Good. Sevilla, they do have Champions League. They do need to sell players. Maybe quite dramatic for them this season. We'll see how they get on, but they are back in the
Also, in the what do you think is going to happen to them without Monchi?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because there definitely are signs that things weren't working well with Monchi last year.
Yeah.
And that maybe the time is right. But he was so central to so much of what they did.
But maybe that's a good thing. Maybe,
it is. And he actually said that, didn't he? And I think in his goodbye press conference, he effectively said, I need to be Monchi 100% of the time. And if I can't be, which suggests that there are people at the club not wanting him to do absolutely everything, then there's no point in me being there. I'm just assuming that Aston Villa are going to allow him to be Monchi 100% of the time.
You would have thought so, bringing him in and giving him all that money. So, yeah, we'll see how Sevilla get on in the Champions League and without their famous sporting director, Monchi. Moving to just off the west coast of Africa, it's Las Palmas. Yeah. The Pio Pio.
What a beautiful crest that is, by the way. Old school.
You love this
proper
crest.
Old school crest.
Yeah. Yeah,
I like it. Lots
There's
going
a
on.
Lot going on there, isn't yeah. there?
Here's a big number.
Oh, big numbers.
2,259. 2,259 kilometres. It's the longest away trip in any of Europe's 5 major European leagues from Las Palmas to Girona.
Girona. Da,
da, da. So, I mean, yeah, hopefully it won't be Monday night at 9. To put that into context, it's roughly the same distance as London to Chisinau, the capital of Moldova.
That's a proper trip, isn't it? That's, yeah.
It's a long trip.
That's a long way.
It's like a 4-hour flight. Their closest away trip is Cadiz, which is a mere 1,500 kilometres away. They are isolated, I think, is the point. Geographically, they're isolated. But Canarian teams always have a little bit of a flair to them, something that we like.
Yeah, there's a risk of cliche, isn't there? But the idea of them almost kind of being the Brazilians of Spanish football, the idea of the climate playing a part, of the kind of the mentality of the place playing a part, that started to come back to the fore in terms of being expressed that way when Quique Setién was in charge, and there was a very conscious drive towards saying, we want to play in a particular way. We want the ball. We want to keep it. We maybe slow the pace of the game down, but we make it more technical. And I think that in fact, there's a book. I can't remember what it's called now. I think it's literally called Identity and Football in Canaries. And it talks about this idea of hitched on to Setién, this idea, this is what we've always been. Now, of course, they haven't always been like that.
Mm.
They had Vinny Samways playing for them. So they have
the original Vinny.
The original Vinny, the best Vinny there's ever been in Spanish football, far better than this current guy. But there is this idea that, yeah, Las Palmas are kind of a bit more fun, a little bit more technical. The Brazilians of Spanish football.
Welcome back to La Liga Las Palmas. Let's see how they get on. Go on.
No, I was going to make a joke. I'm not going to make it now because I might get a call from someone at Las Palmas who would be very unhappy with me.
Well, then absolutely don't do it. Let's move on and go to Almería. Sid's favourite place, is it? Is Almería your favourite place? It's not really.
I've been there a couple of times.
You have been there a couple of times. You went
there. It's one of the most difficult ones to get to.
You went there, I see. And you went there wildly out of season as well.
Well, I also did a really stupid trip. You see, when I went there at the start of the season for their Real Madrid game, and if I remember rightly, I went from Cardiff to Almería, and then a flight from Almería to... No, then drove from Almería to Malaga to get a flight from Malaga to Oviedo to watch Oviedo on the Monday night. It's a good trip.
It's a good trip, but pretty standard for you these days. A fact about Almeria, they of course play at the Power Horse Stadium. Power Horse.
Makes me laugh every time.
Every single time. Try saying it on TV all the time.
Power Horse.
And also in Spanish, they have to say Estadio as well.
Estadio Power Horse.
It's not Estadio. No, it's not Estadio. They say a Power Horse Stadium.
Oh, do they?
Yes, like the RCD Stadium as well. It's the Power Horse.
Estadium. Always with an E in front of the S. Estadium.
Stadium. They're not the only team to feature the word horse in their stadium name in Spain. There is another one, admittedly lower down the league pyramid, and it is in Spanish. Does anyone know it?
Oh!
Give that man a shirt.
Give that man
Toledo.
A shirt.
The Salto de Caballo.
Oh, Al's got the shirts.
The Horses Jump Stadium, Toledo.
Do you know what? The Salto del Caballo Stadium, the Horses Jump Stadium, might be the place where I saw the best game I've ever seen in Spanish football.
Yeah?
Yeah. Fuenlabrada 4, Toledo 3. Last minute goal. It was brilliant.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I mean, you have seen thousands of games.
Yeah, that was it. That was
Fuenlabrada 4, Toledo 3. That's number one in the Sid Lowe
absolutely
chart.
Fantastic.
Wow. Okay. Which shirt are we
going for here?
Horses Jump. Well, there we go. The Getafe Peña is choosing their...
There is a Getafe shirt in there, I think.
Yeah.
But that would require another member of the Peña, I suppose. So,
ooh, there we go.
Ah, it's a nice one, that.
Grande. Nice. Right, let's move on. And that was it with Almeria. Almeria, great stadium name. We are sort of running out of time a little bit, so we will move on and talk about Valencia. You're not going to sing it. Girona's overtaken this.
This is one where the lyrics are clear, because obviously Girona is just Girona. Da, 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 da. The other one's Valencia, Bisca Valencia, is it major? Valencia.
He did it every single week for 2 years when we recorded the podcast. He sang that before we recorded, just for no reason, literally for no reason. So it's it's kind of ingrained in my head. We were planning to release this podcast, this show as a podcast, but that
I thought they were going to release a set of Sid singing La Liga club anthems.
Valencia, Ruben Baraja kept them up last season. Is he going to be there in October?
I'm starting to think that we might have been unfair on him because we weren't convinced.
We were big doubters.
We really were. And when he spoke, we weren't convinced by him. He didn't sound like he was in control of it as much as we wanted him to be. We thought that the kind of whole discourse around him was this idea that this is a legend as a Valencia player and therefore he can get the best out of the team. And while, of course, there's an element of that and while there's an emotional component, particularly when you're just trying to get results quickly, all of that is fair enough. But I must admit, I think we all thought it was a bit vacuous as an argument. But let's bring in this guy who really and truly hasn't been that successful as a coach. And, you know, friends who are Sporting fans who just couldn't believe that he'd been given this opportunity. But I guess, A, you've got desperation. B, you are saying, well, this is short term. And it didn't feel particularly convincing. But actually, if you look at the decisions he made, and in particular playing younger players, particular Javi Guerra's goal against Valladolid, that's the goal that changes everything. And that's down to Baraja. Now, it's true, obviously, it's not entirely down to him in that this is a kid who's playing well in the B team. Everybody knows he's good. It's not like Baraja's the only one that's seen this. Everybody knows that this kid is good. But you still have to play him. And a lot of managers wouldn't have done. And they did survive. And so at the very least, he deserves the opportunity to now build a team and have the chance to kind of start from the summer with a team that he wants. Now, obviously, the question mark is how far he's able to then impose a new idea on a team in a different scenario.
He's gone by October, isn't he? I mean,
maybe.
We'll see. You love Mestalla, don't you?
It's got a case for being the best stadium in Spain.
Yeah,
it's really special.
It is a special place.
It's brilliant. It's the oldest standing stadium in the First Division with Villarreal. Funnily enough, even though Villarreal looks totally different to the way it was, they're the two longest standing teams in terms of playing in the place where they always did. The third is Sporting in the second division. And there's something about Mestalla that's really special. Incredibly steep, very tight to the pitch. I also think, I realise that on the days when it's raining, this feels like a stupid thing to say. But I'm going to miss stadiums without roofs when all the new stadiums have roofs and they all look the same and they're all kind of built in similar
slowly
ways.
Slowly those roofs are being put on.
Yeah.
All right, you mentioned Villarreal. Well, let's move on to the final club that we've got to talk about. And we've got a Villarreal fan. Fantastic. Villarreal, who did actually all right under Quique Setién in the end. It was touch
and go. Yeah, we weren't sure if they would, but...
they kept doing it in batches, didn't they? There'd be like five or six good games, then five or six when you're thinking, oof. Then five or six really good ones again. Regular listeners will know that I quite like Quique Setién. I think what he did at Las Palmas was genuinely special. I don't think it got talked about that much, but I think it was genuinely special. I think actually what he did at Betis was really pretty good as well, albeit at the end there was a very definite disconnect with the fans and a very definite tail off. And obviously with Manuel Pellegrini, they've done really well, so maybe that diminishes the sense of what he did. And then last year at Villarreal, I'm still trying to decide if he did a good job or not, or whether that was just a good team.
Mm. They've done good business with Nicholas Jackson. I think that's... I think it's good.
I think it might be. Obviously, there's a possibility that he becomes absolutely brilliant now, but I think they recognise that they had a moment when he had a 9-game run at the end of the season, which was out of character is not quite the right word, but it was
it was
different to what he'd done before. They weren't convinced
scoring. Yeah.
They weren't convinced that was going to be repeated. That said, he's young enough that it could be, and there's definitely room for him to become a better player with the right kind of coach, the right kind of team around him. The basic materials are there for him to be a really good player. But it does feel like not a bad sale. I suppose the question mark is, what does he get replaced by, and who? Is there a risk of them losing other players as well? Because Samuel Chukwueze, for example, put bluntly, wouldn't mind a move.
Mm. If you go to Villarreal, there's a tip that we always give.
We do.
For the world's best paella
restaurant. There is a really good paella restaurant in Villarreal. Maybe it's the best, but you've got to choose your time wisely because it's quite often shut. But if you can find it when it's open, it's called Caldimoni. It's not difficult to find because Villarreal is very small. You can't miss it.
And it's not even in the town part of Villarreal, if you sort of mean. It's on
it's
the road.
Just outside,
as you come in.
Yeah. It's incredible. But it's only open for lunch and not every day.
Wednesday to Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're in Villarreal in those times, apparently go. It's great. I've never been able to, but yeah, there we go. Right. So that's our run through the 20 teams. We've got another game.
Yes.
Who would like to play a game?
We need two more volunteers.
There and there. Levante and there. Barça.
Barça.
Vamos. The game is, who said this? There are so many great Spanish football quotes. Some of them are really quite silly. Can you identify who said what? All right. So we've got Levante against Barcelona. I like this. It's multiple choice questions, right? So whoever gets the most right wins. You take turns to answer first. Which coach, when asked about a new signing, famously said, "I asked for a sofa and they brought me a lamp." Jose Mourinho, Diego Simeone, Pep Guardiola, or Rafa Benitez? Rafa. Correcto. Rafa Benitez. Who did he say that about, Sydney?
I think it was Canobbio, if I remember rightly.
Right.
I'm not sure whether he was the sofa or the lamp. Either way. Didn't look good in the living room.
Which La Liga president said, "I'm the most important person on the planet after the Pope"? Real Madrid's Florentino Perez, Barcelona's Joan Laporta, Sevilla's José María del Nido, or Betis's Manuel Ruiz de Lopera? You said Perez, you said Sevilla. It's Sevilla, José María del Nido, the most important person on the planet after the Pope. There we go. Muy bien. 2-0 lead here for Barcelona. Okay, this one's... Who said, "I would rather my daughter got pregnant than Betis went down"? Joaquin, Manuel Pellegrini, Pepe Mel, or Quique Setién?
The last one, Pepe Mel.
Pepe Mel, it is Pepe Mel. Very uncomfortable.
A little bit of context, his daughter, I think, was 17 at the time.
Okay. So it would be bad. Which former Real Madrid player said, "I had a friend who was a waiter. His job was to bring me 3 or 4 croissants after making love. We'd meet on the stairs. He'd take the girl and I'd keep the pastries. Sex and food, the perfect night." Was it Ronaldo Nazario, Antonio Cassano, Guti, or Luis Figo? It was Cassano. Oh. Overwhelming victory for Barcelona. Yes. Well done, Barça. Fantastic. Well done, guys. Thank you. Right. Now, we've reached the end of our journey. We do still have a little bit of time. So what we were thinking is maybe go and get another drink. It won't be as long as the interval as we had before. And when we come back, we'll take some questions and we'll play one final game. So there's still prizes to be won and we'll take your questions as well. So a short break this time. Get another drink if you can, if you want. And we'll be back very shortly. We do have this final game, and to get people involved in this game, we're aware of the fact that a lot of people have come from really quite far away to play this game, to be here with us tonight. So we're very appreciative of the fact. I want to get someone playing here who's come the furthest away. So who's had a really long trip to get here today? Where have you come from? Perth. Yeah. Dundee.
Is that the Scottish Perth,
Scottish
or the
Perth
Australian
or Australia
Perth? Because it's a significant difference.
Scottish Perth. Okay, Perth and Dundee sound very far away. South of Ireland. Okay. Steams into the lead. West of Ireland. Hold on.
We're going to need Google Maps here, aren't we?
You travel from Brighton.
Brighton.
Yeah. Okay, that's pretty good. Thank you. That's good.
I come from South Asia.
South Asia?
But not today for this.
No.
Okay. You were today's winner.
No. Yeah. If you'd come all the way from South Asia just for this. Yeah. Cool. So, who is, I think, West? Should we have four players? Yeah? Okay, let's get those four up. The people who have traveled unbelievably far to get here.
Scotland and Ireland represented.
Perth, Dundee and Western Southern Ireland.
And Southern Ireland. Grandes. Wow. Hostia. So the final game is a Rincón Cultural game. We all know that Spain is full of weird festivals. But which of the following festivals are real and which are fake? Okay. We'll go along and everyone, you know, you choose. So the first one. In this Cantabrian festival, men dress up as devils before jumping over rows of newborn babies lying on mattresses in the street. Men dressing up as devils, jumping over newborn babies on mattresses in the street. True or false? True or false? True or false? True or false? It is true.
It is true. It really happens.
I think we actually tweeted about this quite recently. So yeah. But yeah, that does actually happen. Right. In this annual festival in a village in Andalusia, a horse is elected mayor. The horse attends all council meetings and casts a vote in the event of a tie. True? True or false? 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 It's not true.
It's false.
It's false. So you've got two in the middle. Right, okay. All right. In this controversial festival in Castilla y León, a goat is thrown from the top of a church tower as villagers below attempt to catch it with a sheet. True or false?
With a what?
A sheet.
Oh, sorry.
A sheet.
True. True. It is true, but it was banned in 2000. Yeah. So,
doesn't happen anymore.
Power to the goat. In this festival in Galicia, villagers who've narrowly escaped death in the last year are placed in mock coffins and carried in a procession to the local cemetery where they must play dead as a brass band plays. Balls? True. It is true.
It's true.
Right. You're in the lead with two. You're in the lead with two. Right. Final one. Final one. In this Basque village, each household is given a duck every November, which they must treat as a full member of the family throughout the winter before setting it free in the spring. Take a duck, bring it into your family, November to spring. Is that true or false? Does that happen? Does that happen?
I think it happens.
Right, okay. Yeah? Specific.
Yeah.
Yeah? Basque Duck Festival? True?
I was going to say false, but I'm going to.
Okay.
It's very plausible, true. Yeah.
True. No, of course that doesn't happen.
It's false. I made it up.
Right. Was anyone keeping count?
I think
you got two. Yeah, there's the winner.
Everyone gets a prize.
Everyone gets a prize. Bravo. We've got a patron. If everybody is a patron or not, it's patreon.com/TSFP if you'd like to sign up for the forthcoming season. We'd appreciate the support. Right. So we want to thank you all guys for coming. We want to thank our friends at La Liga. We want to thank the team at CSM Sport and Entertainment, the editors Tap Crew for keeping you fed and watered, and San Miguel UK for helping make the show happen. We'll see you soon. Get home safe. You're welcome to come and say hello for a chat and a photo if you like. We're going to head around here for a while. Like I said, the bar's open until 10. And yeah, thanks for coming. And hopefully see you next year. Adios.
Thanks, guys.